Thanks so much for listening. Thank you so much for making 2013 so great. You're listening to a best of. And thanks in advance for spreading the word and making 2014 a great year for us. Thanks for clicking through when you're going to Amazon, going to AdamCarolla.com first and hitting the banner. Thanks for enjoying the Mangria at CarollaDrinks.com. And without any further ado, Alec Baldwin.
This is Corolla Digital.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but to get it on. Mandate, get it on. Heat up my headphones a little bit, would you, Dawson? Good day, Bald Brian.
I just raped you. You didn't even know it.
That's right. Good day, Allison Rosen.
Hello, Adam.
That's right. The one-year book anniversary coming out will be tomorrow.
Wow.
Let me tell you a little something about my family. 1 year, not a conversation.
Still no conversation.
Not a conversation. I will tell you the extent of the conversations I've had. And you have to understand, my family, I played football, but they don't like football.
Mm-hmm.
And then I did construction, but they don't like construction.
Right.
And then I got into boxing, and they don't really like boxing. And then, you know, I did Love Line, but they don't stay up that late. And then I did The Man Show and Crank Anchors, but they don't have cable. So there's always sort of something in between me and them and what I do. There was a disconnect. By the way, for the first 10 years I boxed, I don't think my dad knew I boxed. Mm-hmm. I think he really knew what I did or how I did it. And it was always like, what are you doing? He doesn't know. But all they do is read. That's all they do. That's all my dad does is sit around. Oh, while I was doing whatever it is I would be doing, boxing, building, cars.
Growing up.
Whatever, growing up. Whatever it is I would do. And I would do, you know, I'd do a Dodger celebrity softball game and hit a home run. No can do. San Gennaro feast, you know, Toyota Grand Prix, nothing, ever. I wouldn't bring it up, wouldn't have a discussion about it. But during that entire time, my dad would be reading. That would be what he would do. He would sit home and he would read. Mom, reader. Sister, reader. Everyone's a reader.
It's like, what do you have to do to get their attention? Write a book?
I never thought I'd write a book, but I always figured if I ever did write a book, that would be it.
Right.
That would be the conversation. That would be the icebreaker around Thanksgiving. And speaking of Thanksgiving, last year at Thanksgiving, they all helped themselves to a free book because somebody stumbled upon a box of them that were at my house in the den because I was signing them or something. And they all got hold of them, and I thought, all right, I'm going to hear something about this in the next 10 to 21 days.
Mm.
Nope. Been a year. Not had a conversation. Had conversations where they've said, like, what are you doing? And I've said, I'm working on the second book. And they said, okay. But not a conversation about the book. Not a one. Not with any of them. My mom left a message on my machine saying that it was clever. And it was...
That's almost a conversation.
It was almost a conversation. It was part of a conversation. It was an acknowledgement.
She may have thought she was having a conversation.
She has officially kicked the ass of everyone else in the family because she actually said something. I have no idea if anyone's read the book or hasn't read the book.
Mm-hmm.
I've not had a conversation about it.
That is fucked up.
It's weird, isn't it?
I was going to say that I feel like maybe you need to write a book about long walks and smoothies.
Yeah.
But your mom thought you were clever with what you already wrote about.
Yeah.
So.
She's also worried there was going to be a lot of shit and the minimum amount. Yeah.
Do you think when they read it, if they read it, they're looking for stuff about themselves?
I could not tell you. I have no insights. I've had no discussions. If you put a gun under my chin right now and pulled the hammer down and said, did your dad read this book? I'd say flip a coin, and then you can either squeeze the trigger or not. I have no idea.
Hmm.
Never come up. There's no indication. There's no reference. There's no any... not been anything.
And he's a therapist, so shouldn't he realize how important it would be to you to hear something?
It's weird, I must say. It is weird. Step family, into it. They're normal.
Mm-hmm.
Family? No. And like I said, 1 year, never come up. It will never come up. So that's, I mean, if it doesn't come in a year, it's kind of like a wedding gift. You don't get that crock pot in the first year. It ain't showing up 3 years into the marriage, right? Yeah. So I don't think it's coming up. So I think it's possible that I could write a book, get on the New York Times bestseller list, give it to my family, and never have a discussion about them. And it wasn't some weird thing where I was talking about being molested or anything. It was just a book of jokes, essentially, and some anecdotes and stories.
A very well-written, funny one that everyone would like. Even your family, you'd think.
I'm not so sure. I'm not sure. I don't think they're fans.
I like the book, buddy.
Thank you, buddy.
I came across your book today and doing some research for the Film Vault, by the way. We're doing top five documentaries about movies. You know what I mean? Like movies about movies.
Yeah, like Hearts of Darkness and stuff like that.
I was researching Overnight, which is a great movie.
Right.
And you and I like it. And it said Adam Carolla mentions it in his book as a modern cautionary tale.
Yeah.
And you did do that. That was sort of hey, kids, watch out.
It is. I mean, every cocky kid should see that. Although when you're a cocky kid, I think you're more into that'll never happen to me.
Mm-hmm.
Sort of like when you're smoking at 19 and you're seeing, you know, guys getting preachy, you know, with a breather from a hospital bed at age 64. Like, you're like, come on, that ain't ever going to be. I'm going to die on a motorcycle at 23, Pop.
But this is relatable, though, because the guy's practically a 19-year-old, at least emotionally.
You
know, the bar back who sold his screenplay for $15 million.
Oh, it's great. Oh, great. A follow-up on something I was yapping about last night, which is Kaylee Anthony, the little 2-year-old girl who died. I said, just ironically, as I was taking my kids out, my 5-year-old twins, out to do a little trick-or-treating, I was skimming through the TV, saw TMZ, and saw somebody dressed as someone who would have been 5 had she not had the life snuffed out of her at age 2. And also, I made a mistake yesterday when I was explaining how just sort of macabre and gruesome and just how, what horrible taste this was. Mm-hmm. And again, I'm not easily offended. I'm just saying this. Places like TMZ are a bunch of hypocritical asswipes who essentially pretend to give a shit about comedians like me and Tracy Morgan and all that stuff if we make some off-colored, off-handed racial remark on stage, by the way, doing stand-up. They pretend to be, oh, you've offended the delicate sensibilities of us and the group, and how dare you. And Perez Hilton would do the same thing. Like, that asswipe gives a shit about anybody, any other human being. There's no doubt about it. They're only in it for the money.
Mm-hmm.
But they have to pretend to be, you know, there's moral outrage if you make a group, God forbid, you make a joke about a tranny up on stage. It's a big fucking deal, and they have to be outraged about it. They made a joke because it was, oh, Seth MacFarlane's calling me. Hold on a second. I got to work this out.
Put on speaker, dude.
I don't know how to do it. Seth, can you hear me? Good. I'm doing my podcast. I'm going to try to put you on speaker. Can you hear me now? Oh, wait a minute. I got it. There we go. Oh, and I got to turn you up. Let's see. All right. I got you. Can you hear me now? How come it's not louder?
There's a speaker button on the front.
I hit the speaker.
That's as loud as it gets? Hold it up there.
Seth?
Can you hear me?
Oh, there we go. How are you, buddy?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. I got your text, and then I texted you back, and then we started to do our podcast, and then I thought, well, you know what? If Seth calls me in the middle of the podcast, I'll just weave him seamlessly into the podcast, and here you are.
You pulled that off.
So this is live.
This is live, and you're on the podcast. How you doing, buddy?
I love it. I'm good, man. How are you?
I'm doing great. I'd love to get caught up with you. I'd love to get your input. I sent Seth my animatic from Fox. I'm sure he hasn't seen it yet. Have you looked at it, Seth?
I did. I finally got a chance to look at it today after God knows how many days of trying to get to it. And it's looking good, my friend.
Oh, good. Good. You're going to be at home tonight?
Yeah, I'll be around.
Can I call you after the podcast?
Absolutely.
That would be awesome. And we'd love to have you on the podcast as soon as you have time.
Anytime, man. Anytime. You just blow that whistle on there.
All right, thanks, brother. I'll call you tonight.
All right, cool.
Thank you very much. All right. Yeah, it was weird. I got this.
You really do know him.
I got this this text from him, and I thought, well, I better text him back, and then I realized I did it, and then the show's starting, so that's why I brought my phone in, and then since he called back, what the hell? Put him on. Anyway, where was I? Yeah, so they pretend to care. Meanwhile, they don't give a shit, and they have to act outraged when comedians like me say things about Chaz Bono. Yet, when they say things and they do things that are horribly hurtful.
Mm-hmm.
And
not under the guise of comedy.
No, they're not on stage. No. They're doing a TV show, and they have sponsors. And they did something yesterday, ironically, when I was getting ready to take my five-year-olds out, that was just so appalling to me. And it wasn't appalling, like, as a Christian or as a father or, you know, people do that thing where, you know, people do that thing all the time where they go, now that you have kids, it's like, I wasn't for snuffing out two-year-olds before I had kids. I got news for you. When, you know, I was lukewarm on it. Now I'm dead set against it. But the point is I had a conscience before I had kids, and I understood when people lost their children that it was a very horrible and traumatic thing for their community and for the immediate family and so on and so forth. It wasn't one of these, well, I don't know what that's like. I don't have a kid. It's like, I don't know why people do it. Yes, it's true when you hear about somebody who has a child who's sick and you have a child your own. Yes, it does tend to resonate and hit home just a little bit more. But this is the kind of thing I just would have been disgusted by whether I had kids or not. This is yesterday's, this is Monday's TMZ.
So this is the clip you were talking about
yesterday.
This is
the clip I was talking about. And I, well, you can, well, just, they're in the room. And again, they could have edited around this quite easily. They must shoot ultra fat, mm-hmm. and then edit it down to 22 minutes or 21 minutes, because they just shoot fat, they shoot stories, it's all back and forth. I can tell just from what I know the business that they get a bunch of cameras, they shoot it fat, then they go in and they put in a bunch of VO and they do the graphics and they edit the thing. So they could have easily edited out the 8 to 11 seconds they had of this non-joke that wasn't really connected to anything. But let's just see what the young lady in the audience or in the peanut gallery was dressed as for a Halloween costume.
But don't you think serial killers have things in common in how they're wired?
There are certain personality traits in serial killers.
Right, and those are inherent.
Kim is Kaylee Anthony. Are we overlooking that Kim is Kaylee Anthony?
There's a bag over her head.
No.
Trash bag.
I'm slutty Kaylee Anthony.
Oh my God. You can't do that.
Is it too soon?
That's hysterical.
It almost seemed like they were acting shocked, but then the clapping and laughter sort of.
And the music sting.
Yeah.
She's slutty, Kaylee Anthony.
Right. You thought it was sexy, Kaylee Anthony.
I think my fucked up mind couldn't go that far. She's slutty. Of course, now she'd be 5 and a half, so it'd be game on sexually. The idea that she added the slutty to the dead two-year-old with the garbage bag on the head and the duct tape over
the
mouth.
The sticker on the duct tape.
And yet, they'll be on at 6 o'clock with all their sponsorship,
right.
And they can be fucking morally outraged when some other comedian makes a joke up on stage. Must be nice, folks.
This is so exploitative.
It's fucking pathetic. And I just wish that someone would hold them to the same fucking standard that they hold comedians to. Where's the boycotts? Where's the outrage? How come this isn't getting picked up on? How come this doesn't, you know, I make a fucking joke about Asians and it's all over the fucking place. And you make a joke about someone who's dead and nothing, moving on.
Yeah.
Don't hear anything about it. Why does anyone pick up on this stuff?
Plus, wasn't the sexy thing done? That's sort of a half ripoff of that Crankyankers joke where Sarah Silverman was sexy Hitler or wanted to look for a sexy Hitler costume.
Well, I think that's a pretty widespread joke.
Pretty
the idea that like, any costume, you just add slutty or sexy.
She said slutty, which is to the dead girl. Ugh, with the bag over the head and the masking tape over the mouth. And they knew what her outfit was before they started rolling cameras, and they went into an edit bay with it.
Mm-hmm.
And they But I'm sure they shoot hours of tape and they just left it in.
I mean, I wonder if there was just even one person who thought, I don't know about this. I don't know, you know.
Harvey Levin said, you can't do that.
They put a music sting under it and had him like laughing it up.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It's been a whole 3 years. Again, she would have been old maid in kindergarten by now. So,
can we hear it again just for the music?
Yes.
I did gloss over that.
Please. All right, go ahead.
But don't you think serial killers have things in common in how they're wired?
There are certain personality traits in serial killers.
Right, and those are inherent.
Kim is Kaylee Anthony. Are we overlooking that Kim is Kaylee Anthony?
No. I'm slutty Kaylee Anthony.
Oh my God, you can't do that.
Is it too soon?
How are they doing? They're putting in sound effects? I mean, really? I'm going to fucking boycott somebody. How about this and those ass wipes over telepictures? Fucking pompous douchebags over telepictures. There's such a pile of fucking ass wipes. Oh, God. The worst fucking 40 minutes of my life is sitting at a meeting with those douchebags. And people do that thing where they go, well, why are you calling telepictures douchebags? What if they want to do another project with you? I would never, ever do a project with those fucking douchebags at telepictures. Oh, my God. One day soon, I will sit down and tell you the truth about a project that we recently were supposed to work on involving Kevin Smith. And when you're done, you'll think that Kevin Smith and telepictures are the biggest douchebags you've ever met in your fucking entire
life.
What
if I start by thinking that?
All right, go ahead and start by thinking that. I mean, everyone already knows telepictures are wild douchebags.
Yeah.
Like, every time their name comes up, everyone just goes, holy shit, they're fucking horrible. Like, anybody who works in the business are like, not only horrible, all the people, like the top three people are just fucking horrific douchebags.
Mm-hmm.
But one day, I'll get Greg Fitzsimmons in here, who's had the misfortune of having to work for them, and we'll do an expose on my experience with the telepictures, and you'll have to bring a fucking vomit bucket in here.
Okay.
Just colossal douchebags.
Brian has vomit sounds.
That's true.
Mm-hmm. All right. I'll tell you what. Why don't I do a quick little read for one of our fine sponsors, and you get the news primed up, baby girl. 01 Media Center. That's right. And let me say something, kids. This is why we need your help, because I want to tell TMC to fuck off, and I don't want to deal with fucking telepictures and their douchebagger anymore. I just want to do what we do, and we can easily do this. This is our own pirate ship. Telepictures, suck my cock. Adam Carolla says, suck his dick. You guys are fucking horrible. Horrible hacks. And by the way, the fact that everyone who's ever worked with you, around you, or near you says the exact same thing about you, it's at a certain point, does the truth start to get through that thin layer of skin or scales that you have running across your back, you fucking hacks? At a certain point, is everyone just wrong? Are you guys great? Everyone fucking hates working with you? Everybody? Anyway, I don't want to work with those douchebags.
No.
I want to work with you douchebags.
Thank you. Wait a minute.
That's why you have to help us. That's why you have to support our sponsors. That's why when I say we're back up with Amazon, it's game on again. Every time you make a purchase to Amazon, if you click through adamcarolla.com, you hit the banner,
you
pow,
keep us in the douche.
Pow. You keep us in swimming in douche.
Yeah.
I'm doing the backstroke and squirting the douche out of my mouth like
That's
it's a
right.
cartoon.
Sorry.
Like it's a little fountain. That's right. That's me.
Busby Berkeley.
Knee deep in douche. That's right.
We're doing synchronized swimming in a pool of douche.
That's right.
Cap.
Want to support the show? Use the Amazon link on the website. Allison Rosen?
That's me.
You got the news?
Sure do.
Live from the International News Center, next to Donnie's Mini Bikes, this is the news with Allison Rosen.
Attorneys representing Casey Anthony invoked her Fifth Amendment right against self-incrimination 60 times during a deposition given in a civil suit against her brought by Zenaida Gonzalez, the woman Anthony said kidnapped Kaylee.
Wow.
Gonzalez claimed she
her attorneys went, we're going Ollie North on him. And she said, who? Oh, the porn star? No. You know what? Moving on. Don't say anything. We're moving on.
Gonzalez claims she never met Anthony or her daughter. Gonzalez's attorneys say Gonzalez was questioned by the police in Kaylee's disappearance.
Is Gonzalez the one where she's like, a woman named Maria Conchita Escuela Gonzalez Romero Tevatino Pinata?
She was Catholic.
Stole my, Chimichanga stole my kid?
Yes, it's that one.
Yeah.
Ms. Chimichanga.
Mm-hmm.
Gonzalez's attorneys say Gonzalez was questioned by the police in Kaylee's disappearance, was kicked out of her apartment complex, lost her job, and that she and her two daughters received death threats as a result of media attention in the case.
Can I say something to some of my ethnic sisters, the 2.5 that are listening to the show right now? There is a look in life. There's a good look, and then there's a bad look. There's not your look. There's just a good look and a bad look.
Oh, uh-huh.
You know what I mean? There's plenty of beautiful Latin ladies.
Like, don't just be yourself.
No, what I'm saying is there's a version of hot that Latin women do that doesn't work real well.
Mm-hmm. Is that it?
Meanwhile, there's Selma Hayek. You know what I mean? There's... Don't do the thing where you shave your eyebrows and then you draw them in with a Sharpie and then you take your black hair and you dye it orange. And then you pull it back, and then you put on too much kissing potion.
And you wear giant earrings with your name in them?
Yeah,
not
hot.
Not wearing those.
But. Not hot. There's never been a situation where I've been with a group of dudes where a guy said, how come you didn't hook up with that chick at the kegger? Nah, she didn't have the Sharpie on eyebrows, and her hair wasn't weird color orange, and she wasn't freaking me out with massive size hoop earrings. Never's come up. So, listen, Latina chicks... The only folks that are going to think that look is hot are drunken gangbangers out for a raping.
Mijo!
Some people think that look is hot.
I'm just...
Drunken gangbanger out for raping.
I'm just saying, who are you looking to attract, and you ain't going to get much.
Do you think her eyebrows make her look guilty?
I've said many times...
Or do they telegraph innocence?
If I ever shave my eyebrows off and then draw them back with a Sharpie, I want them to draw them back so it looks like I'm listening. That's my whole thing in life.
I wonder if you could get Botox so it looks like you're listening.
I think I just did.
One eyebrow raise slightly higher than
that. I'm just saying, as long as you're going to draw them back, draw them... Let's get some mileage out of this.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's sort of the equivalent of the glasses that have the eyes on it when you want to nap in class. But this would be for the relationship at home. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it works for the kids, the wife, the nanny. It's all good.
Can you make these eyebrows say, tell me more?
Yeah. I don't want to encourage.
Okay.
I want empathy mixed in with I feel your pain.
I want, I'm listening.
Man of few words, but compassion.
I'm listening. I want to feel your pain. I'm empathetic. Yeah, that's what I'm looking for. Sorry.
Anthony herself said little in the deposition, but acknowledged she was aware she was being sued by Gonzalez. She also said she has not spoken to her brother in the past 6 months or her parents since October 14th, 2008. Her lawyer didn't permit her to answer questions, including whether she'd ever met Gonzalez and whether a person named Zenaida was ever Kaylee's nanny. She was also not allowed to answer questions about whether she considered herself a good mother the last day she saw the two-year-old alive or whether she drowned in the pool, as the defense claimed. It's basically she couldn't answer anything.
So here's this thing. It's this OJ thing. Where's the killer then? Like, she's not the killer, then who is the killer? And
when she's going to need to plead the fifth.
When the killer never surfaces, at a certain point, don't we realize who the killer is? Like, OJ's killer... You know, or the Nicole Brown killer.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I love about dudes? Dudes would still fuck her, no problem. And it doesn't translate. There's no women. You wouldn't be hot for Scott, what's his name, who killed his wife. Remember, Scott Peterson, right.
Bite your tongue. No, he's not my type at all.
You know what I'm saying.
I do know what you're saying. Yeah. Although, there is a young Ted Kaczynski photo where I thought he might not have been that bad looking way back when, before he went Unabomber.
Yeah, you know? He's got a little Harrison Ford in him.
Yeah, he really did. Mm-hmm. Rugged. Mm-hmm. Asked why he was invoking Anthony's right against self-incrimination, Green, that's her lawyer, said, according to the transcript...
Ooh, young Ted Kaczynski.
Is that him?
Yeah.
See what I'm saying?
That didn't take long. Yeah, looking good.
Looks like Clint Eastwood a
little
bit.
But now, see, why did he become a crazy guy who wrote a manifesto in a cabin as opposed to a crooner?
I don't know, but it's one of those things where they used to take those class pictures where they'd go, all right, sit on the stool, face the camera, and look over there. Thank you. Huh? What? Yes. I don't know. What's going on? I like it. It's a more flattering shot. The straight ahead shot looks like a mug shot. I mean, we're looking at a mug shot, but I mean, they used to do those pictures where they didn't do the straight up shot. They did the over to the side shot, and it worked well with the men and the women.
And then they also used to offer something you could order where there would be a bunch of looking to the side shots sort of hovering around a looking at straightforward sort of Sears or JCPenney shot.
Mm-hmm. You know, remember they had those packages? You could get the desk size and the wallet size.
And then you had to figure, like, how many of my friends are really going to want these? And Those were fun times.
Dad's wallet would be bursting with pictures of his kids.
You know who could play him in a movie? A clean-cut Peter Sarsgaard. The actor from Garden State.
That's what we're all thinking.
And
let's
from that shitty movie Skeleton Key, which really scared me.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway...
I'm sure he gets that in prison all the time, by the way. I'll bet you 40 years ago you looked like a young Steven Sarsgaard.
It's Peter Sarsgaard, and yes, I do get it all the time.
All right. Yeah, sorry.
Quote, I need not explain our factual basis other than to tell you that it could tend to incriminate and provide a link in the chain of evidence that could be used against Anthony.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Nailed it. Asked by Gonzalez's attorney, John Morgan, what pending criminal case that applies to, Green said, we made our objection and that's all I'm going to state. Mm-hmm. Snap. Mm-hmm. Morgan told Green he anticipates a hearing before a judge on a motion to compel Anthony to answer some of these questions. Green said that taking it to a judge is, quote, the best thing to do.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Now, this is a tangent, but how annoying is it when you're asking someone questions and they won't answer at all?
Yeah.
I mean, that's had to have been a very frustrating deposition.
Tangent.
Well, when you go into court, shouldn't you have to answer the fucking questions? You know what I mean?
Yes, or you can plead the fifth. Although this was just a deposition. It wasn't even an actual trial. Anthony has been ordered to retake.
This guy looks like a combination of the dad from Juno, who's now doing the Allstate commercial,
J.K. Simmons.
And Ed Harris, because they spilt the same blood and the same mud in the same courthouse.
And a tiny bit Ben Bailey.
Yeah. Wait a minute. Who's Ben Bailey?
The cash cab guy.
Oh, that guy. Ooh, does have some
just
cash cab
bit,
in him.
Yeah.
No, it's got more than a dusting of cash cab in him.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. A dash.
Mm-hmm.
Anthony has been ordered to repay more than $217,000 to authorities for the cost of investigating Kaylee's disappearance.
You know, one thing I miss about Kimmel? I miss doing this in the office with him where he'd go, that looks nothing like the cash cab guy. And I'd go, well, it has to look something like him. Nothing.
Nothing.
Nothing. And it's like, you're calling me insane. You realize that, right? You can say, I don't think it looks that much like him, but you can't say he looks nothing like him when it kind of looks like him. He told me that once when we were on a cruise. There's a Peaches and Herb song that came on.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, this sounds like Peaches and Herb. And he said, it sounds nothing like Peaches and Herb. And it was Peaches and Herb. So I don't know how Peaches and Herb could not sound anything, but they successfully, in this one song, successfully sounded nothing like themselves.
Now, did he get a little talking to about Yes And, or did he get a free pass?
He was a cash cow. Forget the cash cab.
Oh, all right. Well, speaking of Jimmy Kimmel.
Hold on one second, real quick. You know, you're right, Adam, about only being able to, you have to answer some questions in court,
we
right?
We now have them all up on
You know what I'm noticing, though? We are all geniuses, because they look like... he looks like all of them.
Yeah. Yeah. Either the J.K. or J.S. or B.S. Simmons or Rawlings. Or the Juno dad.
J.K. Simmons.
I say the Juno dad's the leader in the clubhouse right now.
I gotcha.
Although they have at different ages. Ed Harris is a little bit older. The cash cap guy's a little bit younger. I don't know. All right, anyway. Sorry. Yes, you should have to answer when you're in court. Otherwise, where else are you going to answer?
But the Fifth Amendment's an important amendment. How about this? You can only use it, like, coaches have timeouts in a game or challenge flags.
Right.
You only have so many. Makes it more dramatic.
Yeah, you just can't keep passing one after the next.
Sorry.
Right. Yeah. Jimmy Kimmel will host the White House course.
Huh? Oh.
Jimmy Kimmel.
Why did you just bring him up?
Why did you just bring him up?
Yes.
Because you knew that I wanted to talk about this story.
But I didn't know you were going to bring him up, right?
You did not. It's true.
Were you going to bring him up next?
No, I moved him up because you brought him up.
That's good. That's good pod.
Thanks.
You give good pod.
Good casting.
You give good pod.
That's Peaches and Herb's big hit. You give good pod.
You give good pod is like a new media compliment, but also something that you might say to an animal that has tentacles.
Yeah.
Like an alien.
So that was mediocre pod, ironically.
Back to the good potting.
I know this is exciting, and I've been hanging out and seeing Jimmy a lot with Mike's wedding and bachelor party and whatnot. And I was with Mike Lynch today working on some book stuff, and Lynch just sort of said it the wrong way. He's like, "Yeah, Jimmy, you know, like when he hosted the White House Correspondent Dinner." And I was like, "He hosted the White House how come I didn't hear about it?" And then I started immediately feeling bad because I'm around him and I didn't compliment him or say anything. And I realized, no, it's coming up. Good.
What's wrong with Mike Lynch's sense of time, though?
He slipped out sideways or something.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So, he will be hosting the White House Correspondents Association's 98th annual dinner.
It's a big deal.
It is. Next April 28th. He said, "I look forward to being a part of the White House Correspondents Association dinner. I love dinner." That's his statement.
He does.
Traditionally a star-studded event attended by the President and First Lady, other senior government officials and members of the press corps, as well as TV and movie celebrities. The dinner features a barrage of zingers aimed at those who run the country. Proceeds from the dinner go towards scholarships and awards aimed at supporting aspiring journalists and recognizing excellence in the profession. Reuters journalist Karen Bohan, president of the White House Correspondents Association, said, "Jimmy's humor is sophisticated and edgy while appealing to a wide audience. We are thrilled that Jimmy has accepted our invitation to be the featured comedian at our annual dinner."
Exciting. Wow.
What are you going to wear?
That is an honor. Jesus Christ. Yeah, we got to go down there. I'm going to stuff myself in a Samsonite right now just to play it safe. Speaking of Jimmy, we have a friend named Chris Bianco, who's a world-famous pizza guy, and he's nuts, and he's into pizza, and Jimmy's a crazy foodie, and told us over at Phil Rosenthal's house, and he's crazy with the pizza, and he's making the pizza, and they're talking crust and sauce, and he's bringing up Chris Bianco, and it's all this thing, yeah. White guys out of prom conversations, and he's got the pizza oven in the house and so on and so forth. That's Chris.
Hair.
Yeah, it's Chris and Mike August when we're in Arizona. By the way, dates coming up in Phoenix, coming up at the Orpheum Theater, Saturday, December 17th. Chris, so Phil was telling me Chris has like flower lung. And I was like, I know, that's what I wanted to do. And I'm like, well, what do you mean? It's like coal miner's lung Well, anytime you suck up airborne particulates and you ingest, whether it's, coal or flour, it's still
bad for you.
Still bad for you, whatever that dust is that you're sucking up, it's in your lungs. And he's been throwing pizza around for so long that he has this, and he's like not allowed in the kitchen and can't be around it, and I don't know all the extent of it. And it didn't seem exquisitely serious, and he's a great guy, seems in good health and all that stuff, but it's weird. Ever heard about that? Ever thought about that?
No, but it makes you wonder about all the other pizza throwers, dough throwers, pizza makers.
Yeah, and what happened?
Right.
And how it works. Mm-hmm.
That's kind of awful.
Yeah.
And yet I can't stop almost laughing. I'm awful.
Yeah. And the problem is if you're one of those guys who buys it because you're cleaning up at around 9/11, you get the, you do the pizza thing. It starts with a chuckle and then, oh, I'm sorry to hear about the, anyway, he's lost. Anyway, he needs a transplant. That's the point. We'll get the word out, but still funny. You got to admit. Yeah.
Sad.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Will he ever be able to go back to his love?
I don't know the full story. All I know is Phil was telling this to me about Chris, and as he was telling it, about time he finished it, another guy walked up, brought his name up, and said the same thing. So evidently, the word is traveling fast in the foodie circles. I think he's okay. I just don't think he's allowed to go in that environment
anymore. People who work around powdered sugar must also face similar danger.
Mm-hmm.
And chalk.
All the beignet makers in New Orleans.
I know.
But they're a pretty hardy crew. Nothing's going to get them down.
First Katrina, now this.
Yeah. Yeah. So we wish him well. Anyway, great news for Jimmy. Exciting.
We, semi-tangent, the air spray makeup, that's supposed to be bad for you. Because that, for people who go on air and who are on the receiving end, the business end of the air sprayed makeup gun, because you can inhale that, and that's not good.
Well, they put it in a in an airless sprayer, or they put it in a spray gun, and they have a little mini compressor,
mm-hmm.
and it's like, and they just put it in there like an airbrush. It's airbrushed. I mean, like you'd airbrush the side of a custom van. They just apply the makeup that way. And some makeup artists prefer it, and then others use it when they have to do a mass situation, like where they're doing an award. Yeah, but like John Goodman comes in there, and he's had a breakout. No, when they're doing an award show, and there's a bunch of dancers and a bunch of extras and a bunch of whatever, and you have to get 40 people in and out of that makeup chair, they'll spray it on. But whenever they spray it on, and I've had it a time or two, you're breathing it in.
And I always hold my breath and almost die.
Me too. And then whether it's that, again, like I've said, whether it's that or the leaf blower, we've decided that secondhand cigarette smoke is what's going to kill you. And I've been the one saying anything that goes into the air that you suck into your lungs is bad for you.
Yeah.
And I would argue, as I've said, the shit that the leaf blower kicks up has got to be a lot worse than the guy who's smoking 20 feet away from you.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a lot more concentrated. It's solid. It actually weighs something, and it's going into your lungs. And what the fuck is the difference between a Marlboro Light at 20 feet or just Maybelline makeup that is shoved up your fucking nose? It's either in your lungs or flour or debris from 9/11. I'll agree there's heavy metals and other things that are toxic and whatever, but either it's trapped in your lungs or it's not.
Mm-hmm.
Whether you're making pizza or digging firefighters out of rubble or getting makeup applied, whatever it is, I'll take the fucking secondhand smoke over all the rest of that shit any day of the week. All right.
Yes.
Can I ask you guys a secondhand smoke-related question?
Mm.
We recently bought a house, and a couple friends came over, and, politely, they're smokers, and they went outside, and they went out back and smoked, and that was very polite, but they came inside, and the whole, the secondhand smoke, especially in my condition, it's sort of especially bald. Bothersome. Yeah, the balding hurts.
Mm-hmm.
So we want to make our house a secondhand smoke-free zone.
Mm-hmm.
And that's going to become problematic because Christy's mom smokes every hour, half an hour.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you politely tell, an in-law or your own parent or whatever you like, what's the proper protocol here? We're going to ask that you go outside, down the block if you want to smoke.
There's a couple things. I think if you're going to throw a party, for instance, people are going to drink and they're going to smoke. You can ask them to go outside. You can ask them to shut the door behind them, sort of thing. But if you're going to throw a party, it's like saying, I'm throwing a party, but I want you all to bust your own dishes and put everything away. And it's like, there's going to be a mess. And part of that mess is your house going to smell like secondhand smoke for 12 hours after the party. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I would say,
that's the thing, is because that's just the smoke, but them smelling like smoke and then coming to the house.
Point is this. If you're having a party, and that party consists of more than 8 people, tough shit.
Okay.
You can't have a party. It's like having a party and asking people not to drink because I don't drink or something like that. You can't have the party. So I would, make an exception for the party, but, once a year, I'm going to have a party. All right. Air the place out the next day. Two, I agree with you, which is now that, first off, everything used to smell like smoke, like doctor's office and airplanes and grandparents' houses. Like, you'd go into people's houses. They smell like smoke. Buses smell like smoke. Everything. All of Vegas. It all smells like the inside of a casino. Now, nothing smells like smoke. So when somebody smokes and then they come back in or something, you go, whoa, what's that? It's so abrupt. It's so apparent now. Mm-hmm. When it didn't used to be, it was just like, it didn't bother you.
Like stuff,
yeah. It was like, I don't know. It was like having some old grandpa smoke a cigar and it didn't seem to bother anybody. Now it bothers the shit out of everyone. I would say party, forget about it. And just go outside and smoke. Family members. Yeah.
It's touchy.
I mean, there are little creative ways you can, put a little fan on them, make them a little area that kind of blows it off them kind of thing, I mean,
that's our smoking section.
You don't have to make love to your mother-in-law. You don't have to sleep in the same bed with her. I mean,
I wish I knew that 2 years ago.
No, for the first 2 years, you have to do it. That's what I'm saying. Okay. It's tradition.
I'm on pace.
The point is this. I would chalk it up to one of those things where it's like, how often does she stay with you? Mm. How often does she come over? It's an annoyance, but I'm sure there are many annoyances that people have. I think you could tell her to definitely go outside, and you could definitely just shut the door behind her, and you could ask her to spin around five times real fast. Or, you know, like, look, if you're going to smoke, take a walk around the block, old lady. But party, forget about it. But generally, I would say, look, what is it, 2 days out of the year for you? Mm. Or 5 days out of the year for you? I don't know how many days. I'd try to get over it. I really would. I mean, don't let her in the bedroom.
Is it a health concern, or is it that you don't like the smell?
There is genuine health concern, but for me, it's more the smell is pervasive.
It's not a health.
It's 80-20.
It's not a health. It's not a health thing.
Well, for Brian, for me, it might be.
No. It's not going to cost. It's not going to do anything to your tumor.
Not my immune system, though. Like I said, 80-20. This is not a huge concern, but it is worth mentioning.
I think psychologically, yeah. Nobody's got cancer once they smell smoke.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely with you on that. I don't think it's gonna push it one way or the other. I couldn't even see 0.1%. Like, you smelling it's going to do it.
But the aggravation. Again,
but if your blood pressure goes up a little bit, maybe there's something there.
Yeah.
I think because you're a guy's rocking a tumor,
mm-hmm.
I'd say you'd
play the tumor card.
I'd say you get to play that tumor card.
I don't play that often, too. It's handicaps. It's parking outside the meters, and it's asking.
Let's say this is one. I would say this is one your wife could definitely, where she could definitely play that tumor card.
Good to know.
Good, yeah. All right.
Thanks, you guys.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Glad we could help. But again, if you throw a party, come on. People are going to be drinking. Mm-hmm.
That's some of the news. I'm Allison Rosen. Zip it, cunt.
That was the news with Allison Rosen. And now, Alcoa presents Definitely Not a Jew on the Adam Carolla Show. Dateline, Ocala, Florida. A 23-year-old man was charged with trespassing after being caught defecating on the steps of an elementary school. Definitely not a Jew.
Yeah. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Relationship calls, which everyone seems to enjoy, and we'll do a little more news. Again, Dag coming in back tomorrow. Can't get enough of that dude. He's like one of those barbecue Pringles.
Yes.
You can't just pop one of those babies.
Mm-mm.
I got to tell you, there's a lot of chips out there. You know, they got the sea salt ones, and they got the vinegar salt ones, and they got the ranch ones and stuff. Still don't think you do better than a barbecue.
Yeah, it's a classic.
I always like a barbecue chip. And you know what I like? I like them puff chips. Those puff barbecue. You see those puff ones now?
No, what are puff ones?
They're like potato chips, but they're not deep fried. They're puffed.
Oh, like baked?
Pop chips.
Oh, pop chips.
Oh, sorry.
Oh, yeah.
They're called pop chips. Yeah. They're puffy. Yeah. The barbecue.
But Pringles are amongst the worst,
healthy-esque.
Right? They're not even chips.
No, but they're their own food group, like Twinkie.
Yeah, all right.
Yeah.
Yeah, those are the pops you're talking about.
Yeah, love them pop chips. Easy to go through those bad boys. All right, you want to hop on the phones? There's a guy from Auckland, New Zealand. Mm-hmm. Hey, Tim. Let's see if I can work this out. Timmy, Tim.
Hey, good morning, Ace Man.
Good morning. What time is it there in New Zealand?
It's actually 5 o'clock tomorrow in the evening.
I love that. I wonder how my
What happens in the future?
Yeah, I wonder how my day was.
I know.
It's been a gorgeous day here.
Oh, man. I'll tell you, I met one guy from New Zealand. His name was Fraser, and he was nuts. And I worked construction with him. And he did a lot of sailing. Evidently, you guys like to sail, right?
Yeah, this is the city of sails here in Auckland.
Oh, is it? Is the city of sails? Hold on.
Yeah.
Calm down, Jewess. It's not what you think. It's totally different.
I was getting all my nickels together.
Yeah, no. Different. So, Tim, my buddy Frazier from back in the day when we do earthquake rehab work, he gave me Vegemite. Do you do the Vegemite thing in New Zealand as well?
I tried it once, and it is absolutely horrible.
It's horrid.
Yeah, it's, and they love it. They love it here.
It's as if you're fucking with people. Mm-hmm. It's like you're going, oh,
it's like,
we
it's
love
it. Fermented this. Schmegma.
Yeah, like they go, we love this. Oh, we love it. It's like kids going, oh, you haven't tried this? Oh, and it's just paste with spit in it. Like, it's bitter. It's black.
Yeah.
It's weird tasting. It
tastes like nothing that you should eat.
Yes, I mean it has. It's like somebody broke open a battery and spread it on a muffin, and you're like, "Fuck this!"
Right
now, but do you guys do it in New Zealand?
They have it regularly. They swear, put it on toast with butter, and they say it's the best.
If I went to a diner or a restaurant for breakfast in New Zealand, and I said, "Oh, could I have some Vegemite?" Would they produce some for me?
Oh yeah, they have it out like little packets of, you know, jam and butter and stuff. They have it in those little,
packets. I would like to really do called the fucked up cultural food challenge. Like, you know, this week it's Vegemite against poi. Next week, tripe is going against tripe because tripe got drunk and forgot who it was partnered up with. You know what I mean?
Haggis gets a first round bye.
Right.
Yeah, and then lutefisk somewhere in there.
Yeah, yeah. And just, oh, and the Jews with all the congealed aspect, the fish, the jello-y fish.
And there's
fish
Marmite, and, too.
There's Marmite?
There's Marmite and Vegemite.
Yeah.
Both gross.
Oh, man. You could wash it down with some Clamato. An awesome meal. What is Vegemite? Is it a root? Is it what?
It's
what
soy.
Makes it so bitter?
It's yeast based. I think. I'd say brewer's yeast is the only thing I've had that's worse.
Brewer's yeast is horrible.
What is that? Yeah. What's the application of that?
Brewer's yeast is like back in the day, people would put it in like health drinks. Brewer's yeast was considered, you know, healthy.
Mm-hmm.
And so you'd put a couple of tablespoons into your health shake. And brewer's yeast is one of the only things that I've ever eaten that sort of makes you gag as you're drinking it. Like if you put it in your shake and you start drinking, you'll go, it makes you gag.
Yeah.
It's weird. It's like, what is that, ipecac?
Yes, that's the syrup of ipecac makes you throw up.
Yeah, brewer's yeast will fuck your shit up.
Is it a similar taste to Vegemite?
Vegemite to me was bitter tasting, whereas brewer's yeast had a I'm going to yak all over the shake. Sorry. Anyway. Yeah, sorry for that. And again, are you guys really into Vegemite, or are you just fucking with Yankees?
Who knows?
Okay.
Who knows?
All right, but so you're a guy from New Zealand who freely admits that stuff is horrible.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
Okay, what's your question? I'm sorry, Tim.
No, it's all good. So I've been divorced now for about 5 years, and I have no problem talking to women. I'm perfectly comfortable with engaging them in conversation, and you know, I go to bars. I'm relatively, you know, cool. You know, I don't feel like I'm an outcast at all. But I don't know. You know, I've tried dating websites and stuff like that, and I just haven't been able to find a real girlfriend. So I didn't know, what would you do, you know, in the current climate if you are struggling to meet someone? You know,
you're that nerd.
I don't think there's a better time. And by the way, has anyone got any split ends? You guys know split ends are from New Zealand, right? A New Zealand band? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And one of the guys in that band is named Tim, I do believe.
It's not me. I don't think I'd have any trouble meeting girls if I was in a band.
Yeah. I don't think... I got to hear some split ends. I don't think there's a better time to be a single dude. I really don't. First off, your dating age range is basically 18 to 10 years older than you.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you got a fucking wide berth when it comes to dating. You can date 21-year-olds, no one's going to give a shit, and you can date 38-year-olds, and no one's going to give a shit. Mm-hmm. I mean, you are 41-year-olds and 19-year-olds. I mean,
it's just pussy for the grabbing.
It's pussy for the grabbing. It's a pinata filled with pussy, and you're holding a mop handle, my friend. I know Brian, like the back of my hand. Tim Ferriss? I think those are the split ends. Maybe they went on to do Crowded House? Am I making all this up?
No, Tim Ferriss is the guy
Finn
who came
brothers.
On the podcast.
Oh, Tim Finn. Yeah. The Finn brothers. That's right.
Yeah.
So first off, you got a nice 20-year birth there of literally of folks you can date. Number two, all these websites are out there. Number three, all chicks. And again, here's my take. And Allison, you tell me what you think.
Okay.
When you meet chicks that are 20, 21, they don't think they're ever going to get old. They think they're always going to look hot, and their tits are always going to be perky, and they're never going to have a problem, and all guys are going to treat them great, and all that kind of shit. And somewhere around 30, they start to get humble. Mm-hmm. Much easier to date a 30-year-old chick than a 20-year-old chick. Because a 20-year-old chick is the belle of the ball, especially if she's hot, and she thinks it's a party that'll never end. Women that start getting into their 30s start to see the end a little bit of being the belle of the ball, and their attitude changes drastically. I have found through personal experience.
Yeah, well, I don't think it's as much that you're thinking, oh, I have to lower my standards, as much as it you just start rethinking what it is you're looking for in someone else, and you start looking for things that are genuine.
It's not lowering your standards. It's I'm not going to date another dick who calls me by throwing a few revs in his Kawasaki when he wants me to come outside versus getting off the motorcycle, coming up, taking the helmet off, and knocking on the door. You doing a donut on my lawn is not your signal for me to come out and get on the back of the bike. Right. You know, young guys are douchebags. Women go through enough of the, you know, rebels, troublemakers, bad boys, and they get it out of their system. And Tim doesn't sound like a bad boy, which is part of it. Now, what do you do for a living?
I'm a teacher, actually.
What age?
Kind of work.
I teach mathematics, so maybe that puts the nerd back in there.
Mm-hmm. And you guys say grade five? You put the grade in front of it?
No, we say year. So, like, year nine would be, like, eighth grade in the States.
Uh-huh.
Do you call it maths?
Yeah, we say math.
Wow. And also, you're living in a country that's sort of limited in its populace, right?
Yeah, it's only 4 million people in the whole country, and, you know, it's a big city, though. There's 1.4 million here in Auckland, so you'd think it's some choice, but
yeah, I don't. Here's what I would do. I would use the websites. I would definitely use all that social network stuff if I was single these days. Number one. Number two, I'd go old-fashioned and use my friends. Number three...
Sorry to interrupt. Alec Baldwin on line two.
Alec Baldwin on line two?
Yes.
Hey. All right. Hold on a second. Tim, good luck to you.
Enjoy.
Shit, Baldwin's on. Hello?
Tim?
I dumped Tim from Auckland to speak to you, Alec Baldwin.
You got a guy calling you from Australia?
It's 5 in the afternoon over there. What's he giving a shit?
He's got plenty of time to figure it out before he goes to bed.
Baldwin, you know what was funny?
What's going on, buddy?
How are you? Thanks for calling.
I'm doing really well, man. How are you doing?
I want to say a couple things.
Yeah.
One is, I was going through just a box of sort of keepsakes this very afternoon, and right at the top of it was a handwritten note that you gave me some years back when you did my late-night TV show. And I thought, oh, this is nice. And I thought, no, I kept it because it was Alec Baldwin. And number two, you look like you're in phenomenal shape. Something's going on. You got the AIDS? You getting into Pilates? What's going on? Or both?
I'm taking that Pilates you take when you have AIDS. It's AIDS Pilates.
What are you doing? Because I spoke to you a few years ago when I was doing Dancing with the Stars, and you went, man, I just want to dig in for 6 months. Like, just go at it. 2 hours a day, you know, just sweat right through my underpants. But something happened. Right? Something's going on. What's happening?
I stopped eating sugar.
Is that what it is?
Yeah. I mean, I really, really just I worked out, and I just thought to myself, you know, what do I need to change? I needed to change something, and it was diet, and I stopped eating sugar. I think I've dropped like 30 pounds in like three or four months.
Just by stopping eating sugar?
Yeah, no dessert, no cookies, cake, pie, ice cream, mints, gum, candy, nothing.
Not even during that time of the month?
Are we good?
Uh-oh. I don't know what that is. Hold on. Let me try putting it on hold. Let me see if we can work this out.
You know what that is?
What is that?
You have
That's
line
Tim?
Four syllables.
Oh, hold on. I got rid of Tim. Sorry.
Did we dump Tim?
We dumped Tim.
Are we clear? wearing that?
He's a zero from New Zealand. He can't even get a date. Don't worry about
like
him, Baldwin.
Smells like Vegemite.
He's not one of us. But, Alec, isn't it...
Yeah, I gave up sugar.
Isn't it difficult, and I was screaming this at the top of my lungs the other day, when you do it, when you do a TV, which I do everything, when you do a TV show, they give you baskets filled with biscuits, filled with cookies,
yeah, exactly.
filled with goodies.
Exactly.
And then every set, if you go on set, and I'm sure it's that way on 30 Rock, which is an amazing show, if you go to hang around the set, there'll be bowls filled with M&Ms. And by the way, if you make it past the craft service table, there'll be a woman walking around pushing quesadillas on you at a certain point, and smoothies, and it's like the
deep-fried macaroni and cheese balls.
Right, and the crew's going insane, and meanwhile, you're just standing there in a cold sweat wanting to backhand her because
she's... Well, it's made for the craft service, is made for the crew, because these guys, the women, they're on their feet all day for like 13, 14 hours, so they make everything for them. The craft service table we have, we call it Sugar Mountain, because it's just tons of...
Right.
It's just tons of shit. It's just also, cakes and candies and all that crap.
Also a great Neil Young song.
It's a Neil Young song, yeah.
So the thing is, A, you can't get fat in show business, or there's trouble, and then the other thing you can't get is you can't become an alcoholic, but the two selections for gifts are either cookies and booze,
right,
or cookies or booze.
Don't know, like, I'm a non-drinker, I don't drink, and you'd have people, you can always tell the people that don't know you who they send you, an 18-year-old Macallan Scotch.
Right.
And they're sending you not a bottle of booze, they're sending you the finest bottle of booze that's out there, you know.
Well, take...
So you're right, it's booze, and it's those baskets from, like, Manhattan Fruitier that are filled with chocolate.
Take this in the spirit in which it's intended, Alec, but you seem like an alcoholic. To be fair to your friends who don't know you that well. You know what I mean? You have all
I'm
the characteristics of an alcoholic.
Of
it's a good thing.
That means that a man is just vexed by options. You know what I mean? I seem like an alcoholic.
Baldwin, by
the
way.
How are you doing, man? Everything's good?
I'm doing great. And you can Twitter Alec, by the way, at Alec Baldwin, if you'd like to give him a Twitter. Yeah, I was watching.
I'm going to do your show pretty soon. I think I'm going to try to hook up with you and do your other show.
I hope
podcast.
So. That's what we're doing right now. But
that's what we're doing. Okay, great.
I'd love to see you in person. Again, 30.
How's the show going? Are you still doing anything like you used to do? People are calling you up. Are they asking you for
advice? Well, we were talking to the Lovelorn a minute ago, and then you called in, and we had to push them all aside.
I'm not Lovelorn now. That's actually working quite well.
Yeah, what's going on with you in the relationship
department? I found another victim. You know, what can I say?
Awesome.
I found another victim.
And she's dating
the... There's pythons that are eating alligators in the Everglades. The pythons have grown so big that they actually are eating the alligators, and that's kind of how I feel. I'm the python that's grown so big...
Yeah.
I'm just eating the alligators whole now. You know?
She gets to date the sober, skinny Alec Baldwin.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't say skinny. I'd say the Alec Baldwin that's no longer going to win the Victor Buono lookalike contest.
Well, as I said to you last time I spoke to you, I wanted you to put on about 100 pounds and run for president, which is full and full-blown beard, pocket watch, vest.
Grover Cleveland.
Yes.
Let's bring him back.
Yeah, yelling good day at almost everyone.
Who's in the room with you there?
Oh, I have Bald Brian over here and Allison Rosen. You can say hi,
Hello.
Too.
Hello.
The good news is you're fired.
That is it's Bald Brian.
What was his name? Tim from Auckland?
Yes.
What was this? But let's talk. Let's give some love advice together. Can we? May I?
Yes, you may.
Can I give you a fleeting consultation or a drive-by consultation?
Please, Alec.
What was Tim's problem? What was he seeking?
Tim is 30. He's from New Zealand, so I'm assuming he's black.
He's been divorced for 5 years.
Thank you for laughing at that. See, Alec gets me. He teaches math, or maths, as he says it, at year five, right? And he is single, and he doesn't know how to meet the ladies. And I told him, you know, the world is your oyster because you can date from 20 to 40, and you have all this internet stuff. Can you imagine that internet stuff for a young, single Alec Baldwin in his 20s?
Yeah, I'd never leave the house.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
So
I'd have it hot and cold on tap right there online. You know?
You've been with the same woman for how long now?
My my girlfriend. I've been with her for about 8 months.
8 months? And how's it going? You feel good?
Life is good. I can't complain. Life is very good. Life is great.
Ever see getting married again?
I wouldn't rule it out. You know, I mean, I'm a believer that that's, you know, the natural state of things is to, you know, be monogamous and have a home, you know.
I get it. She's in the room.
And things are still good with you, your home, and you're happily married, and you're still puttering around your house and building things, driving your wife crazy.
I have twins. They're 5 years of age.
Are they really?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
I know.
Are you happy?
I love those shits to death.
Those little bastards.
I love those little ass wipes to death. I got a boy and a girl. I can't stop loving them. I really...
Has it softened you? You sound different.
Fuck you! Maybe when I talk about them, I just love the shit out of them. I really do.
Has your wife changed?
She has turned in. It's like and
she turned into her mother.
She turned into a worker. It's like she didn't have that much to do when I was out sort of bringing home the bacon and she was hanging around in a big house. Now she's got things to do and yeah. She's doing them. Like good. She's answering the bell,
so to speak,
rising to the occasion. Yeah, although she got pissed off a few years ago when I was explaining to her that I was bringing home the bacon. And she said, I have a job, too. I, too, bring home the bacon. I said, no, you bring home the bacos. Yeah. I bring home the bacon. There's a big difference there. So you are. And what about more kids? I'm assuming you're dating someone who's a little bit younger than you who says she doesn't want kids now. But eventually that's going to come up, Alec. Right?
Yeah, I would love that. That would be great. I have one child. My daughter just turned 16. So, I adore my daughter. She's great. But like all 16-year-olds, she knows how to say fuck you in every language that there is, you know, at the United Nations. And
it's an issue because I've said this to my wife a bunch of times. I come from a long line of women who hate their dads.
Mm-hmm. They really
do. My mom hated her dad, not that she knew him. My sister, not a big fan of my dad and her dad as well. It runs in the family. And I have twins, and the boy is just one big ball of lovable goo, and the daughter is tough. She's tough on me. And it's like, I'm wondering, I want to break this streak.
Well, I tell people who have kids, I say from you think that when they're newborn, when they're, you know, literally newborns, and then they become toddlers and so forth, and they start to talk, I said, you think when they're just this little lump in a bed, there's not much for you to do. I said, that's wrong. I say from 0 to 10, you have to spend as much time with them as you can and enjoy every moment as you can. Because once they get to middle school, once they're like 10, 11, forget it, by the time they're 12, they're gone.
They're gone.
In the modern world, they're gone. They have no use for their parents. They just have, you know, you have to really enjoy them as much as you can until they're 10 years old. And after that, it's over.
And what about you and your schedule? And, I wouldn't be doing my job as a host if I didn't bring up politics and all that kind of stuff. I remember once we were speaking about 30 Rock, and even though you guys were getting all the Emmys, you seemed a little disappointed in the ratings, and maybe that was just a 30 pounds ago and a little more depressed Alec Baldwin,
I need money now, you know. I got a girlfriend.
You enjoying the success of 30 Rock now? I'm taking it, right?
Well, I think this year that we're doing is the last year that, you know, that we're signed for. We signed for 6 years and we're in our sixth year now, and they have talked to us about maybe doing another year, which I did not want to do, but now maybe I will, if that'll help us get to a seventh year. Because I think if either she or I or any of the other principal actors left, you know, they might not do the show. So everybody kind of agreed that if it would salvage a seventh season for everyone, maybe we would all do that or do part of one. I really don't know what's going to happen, but we're in syndication. So
yeah.
The show is successful on that level. Everybody's happy about that. And, you know, listen, you know, you work in this business and you do TV and movies and so forth. It's like, you know, I I wasn't quite sure that I wanted to do a TV show, and then when I finally did one, it's been one of the best experiences I've ever had. It's been a lot of fun. We've had a lot of fun.
Well, Tina Fey is a bona fide talent.
Yeah, she's incredible.
And one of the nicer people I've met in show business, at least when I sat down with her.
Well, we have, Tina, as an actress, it's like the show is a great opportunity for everybody, but I think the thing that's the most interesting to me is what's going to happen to Tina when the show's over, because I really believe if she could go on to become a writer-director like Nora Ephron or Nancy Myers or people like that, I mean, if a female director who writes, produces, and directs her own films, I think that Tina could have an incredible career as a producer and writer and director.
Yeah, her biggest problem is going to be what to do next. Like,
exactly.
Shall I write another book?
Really,
shall I write a movie?
Every opportunity, developing TV shows, writing books. I mean, she has every opportunity at her fingertips. She's going to have the most amazing career. She's the only one that has a future when the show's over. The rest of us are
That's clearly what I was getting at. But thank you for making that easier on me.
Exactly.
What about the rumors that you're looking at possibly running for mayor of New York?
I think that's not really likely, because, I mean, in New York, all the statewide seats are all safe Democratic seats. We have a Democratic governor and two Democratic senators and so forth. And to run for mayor is something that is looming very quickly. Like, you'd have to spend about a year and a half of your life raising money and campaigning, and the race is in November of 2013, and I don't think I have time to do that, quite frankly. So,
well, how much money would it take you? I mean, we already know you. Don't you feel like the press would sort of take care of a lot of the stuff that other lesser-known mayoral...
I think that New York is very different from other places. You know, in California, you've had a person who was governor who, I mean, virtually had no political credentials whatsoever. I mean, none.
Right. Talking about Gray Davis.
The guy ran the President's Council on Physical Fitness for a while, and he became the governor, not the lieutenant governor, but the governor of the state.
Sure.
And so California is a little bit different that way. You know,
you're saying we're stupid.
You're two for two out there.
You're saying we're stupid.
Well, I'll let you say that, but the thing is that
it's not that we're stupid, it's just we don't care.
Yeah.
We're apathetic.
Well, you overlook a lot. But
mistake
here,
our apathy for stupidity.
Kind of a business tycoon or someone who's really done something meaningful to leapfrog into elective office that way. So we'll see.
Well, and for now, then, 30 Rock.
I'm going to do the show this year and maybe do a piece of next year or all of next year. We'll see.
Mm-hmm.
And then when that's over, I'll decide. You know, I'll take it. I mean, maybe you and I can bring back Loveline. What the fuck do you need Dr. Drew for? You got me.
Do you remember when you called me on my cell phone and repeated back one of the Loveline questions?
Oh, of course. Of course.
And
I'll never forget my favorite memory. I mean, I have several, but my favorite memory of you was the guy's actual, the timbre of his voice. I mean, the sound of his voice.
Because
you said to him, how much do you weigh, Larry, or whatever his name was? And he was like, I weigh 300 pounds. He had like a really high-pitched voice. And you were like, you're a large man. Is that it? You're a large man? And then he went on to his whole thing about you went into your whole thing about the mayonnaise jar and the duct tape and the bagel. Which was my favorite.
I love the fact that was your favorite of all time, and I'd forgotten all about it.
That was tied with when the guy said he was having sex with his sister, and he said, but he felt it was okay because she was only his half sister. And you said, well, that depends on which half is your sister. My other favorite of yours.
Yes, which half you're fucking? Yeah,
which half of her is your sister?
I'm
sending you my best. I'm here in New York, and I gotta go. I gotta hit the sack here, but
Alec, please, thank you.
Great talking to you, buddy.
Always great speaking to you,
Adam Carolla.
Love you.
I hope I see you down the road.
Huge fan, and let's get together soon.
You too, buddy.
Thank you. Bye bye. The hell was that about?
We have guests tonight.
I know.
Well, we didn't think. I mean, what if someone said, hey, do you have a guest tonight? And you were like, well, tonight we're like, no guests. And then you go, Seth MacFarlane and Alec Baldwin. It's pretty good.
It's a pretty good lineup.
Yeah, I don't know if Leno's pulling
it. It was completely random. We sent out a Twitter from your account asking for calls. And Alec responded, what's the number? And so we direct messaged him and got him on the horn.
God, love that
that's
Baldwin.
Good, that's good pod back there, guys.
That's good pod. We're doing good pod. It's good, solid pod. I think we go out on a high note.
Yeah.
I really do. Man, we got some more news, but Love that Baldwin. By the way, I
what a nice guy.
I would forget all the answers I gave on Loveline because it was just first off, as Bald Brian will attest, no one would ever go, "You got to write that one down, kid." Dr. Drew, and 11 years of sitting next to him, went, "Hey, did you just come up with that? Because that was fast." Like, there was never, and producer Ann would never go like, "Hey, man, write that down." It was always just moving on, And you don't realize.
She was only there half the time.
Did you gauge the wittiness of your response by the people that are in the room?
Right.
Like, if you're sitting at a dinner table and you go, "Hey, I got a good one," and you tell a joke and nobody laughs, you're not going to tell that joke again. And you're probably not going to
think... That was dinner at your house always,
yes,
right?
You're probably not going to... We didn't have dinner, but I understand what you're saying. You're probably not... It's not going to go down in your head as... I got to remember this one for the next time I have a dinner party. It will go down in your head as moving on. So since Dr. Drew rarely cracked a smile and our producer never said anything, and Lord knows Anderson never said anything, most of the answers that I gave, even if they were...
Genius.
Even the ones that were fast or funny or whatever... I just moved on, and I didn't think about them again. So when Baldwin would call me and tell me about, you know, he's fucking his half-sister and which half you fucking kind of thing, I'd go, "Oh, that's funny."
I made the mistake of laughing out loud at your comments too many times in those 2 years.
Oh.
And Anderson yelled at me, "Don't laugh at that. Why are you laughing at it? That's not funny."
You want that kid to get a big head.
This didn't happen once, by the way. It's happened many times.
Yeah. It was good. It was sort of, here's what the atmosphere was. If somebody laughed at one of my jokes, I would have immediately asked for a raise. That's basically
right,
like,
"Hey,
you know that's funny? Give me $8. You laughed. Come on. You know I need a raise. I'm going to renegotiate this contract.
Right, you're charging per chuckle.
That fat bald guy's answering the phone. I saw him smile twice. I want more money." It's really like somebody said, "Don't keep it in. You know what? Put a piece of glass in your shoe. If you ever think something's funny at Carl's head, just press down on it. That'll stop it." Jeez, why is everyone tearing up? Making a weird face like they bit into an onion. All right. Well, that was unexpected and fun. So, thank you guys for checking out the new app. Again, new app, new website coming out on Friday. And until next time, it's Adam Carolla for Bald Brian and Allison Rosen saying...
Mahalo.